All right, Shabbos say good morning. Let us begin. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. First of all, I omitted one of our sponsors from yesterday, Tali and Michelle Strum, for dedicating the daf with Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the birth of a baby boy to their children, a new grandson, Rivka and Rafi Strum. You're in Baltimore. Mazel Tov. You should be Zocha. Lachniso, Breviso, Shalom Avinu Bismano, and the God of the Torah, the Chupa, the Maisim Tovim, Mazel Tov. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all of the Shurim and Joshua's memory of their parents, for Jack Bennett, for dedicating the Shurim this month in memory of Givati Brigade First Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport, and for Dr. Linda Weinberg, for dedicating the Shurim this month in memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Paris Moshe Ben Avram David. Our week of learning sponsors, the Rosen and Miller families, as the Schusraf Wurshlemer for Chaim Yosef Ben Batya, Said and Sima Haken, for dedicating the week of learning in honor of Rabbi Richter, Chaim Nachman, Richard Buck, Meishi Abramson, Gabby Cohn, for graciously volunteering to make the outdoor minyanim happen for Rosh Hashanah. And the Stanger and Weinberg family, in honor of Doug Stanger's special birthday. Thank you to all of our sponsors for their generosity. And with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Tesvov 15, but we are picking up on Yudalad Amud Beis 14b, and I believe we left off right at the Gemara, right? We did the Mishnah, the second to last Mishnah on the Daf. So we're picking up at Tani Rabbi Chiyo. So as I remember again, the Mishnah ended off with Imachlokes regarding what type of gifts one is permitted to go ahead and send on Yom Tov. So Bishamai said you could only send manos. Manos means already ready prepared food. Basilo said you pretty much send whatever you want, animals, flowers, wine, anything, but not tvua, not grain. And again, Beis Hillel's logic for that is because halacha lemaisa, we're not going to grind grain on Yom Tov. That could have been done before Yom Tov with the same qualitative results. Therefore, you can't go and send it on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara. So Tani Rabbi Chiyo, Ublavachli Asana Bashura. So interestingly enough, the Gemara says as follows, that halacha lemaisa, as much as you can send a gift on Yom Tov, you can't send a gift. Shura literally means with a row of people. This is actually very interesting. You can't send a gift with a large number of people. In other words, right? Let's say I want to send Reuven a gift. So I can't send him a gift with a delegation, a group. Now, what's the pshat? If you take a look at Rashi, shelo yasena b'shura, lo yishala chadram adi anashim harbe, da'av shamilsa, v'nirim kimolichim limkar bashuk. So this is very interesting because it has the appearance as if they're going ahead and taking something to the market to sell it. Interesting. So Tana, in short, p'chus mishlosh b'ne'adim. So by the way, how much is a group? Three people. So by Ravashi, plus a gadri, plus a mini mai, what about the following case? What if you send three gifts with three people? So let's say I'm sending Shimon three gifts, right? Three different gifts. And I'm giving him, and each, I'm sending one person to hold each gift. Is that still called a shura, right? Is that still called a lot of people? Teiku. Good. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvua, Rabbi Shimon says you could even go ahead and send grain. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvua, ki gon chit and lasos nem ludios, sorim litin lef nebehem do, adoshim lasos nem resisin, because it was Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that halacha lamaisa. See, the reason why Beis Hillel didn't want you sending grain, didn't want you sending wheat, was because halacha lamaisa, he felt that grain is not going to be something that you're utilizing on Yom Tov itself. Right, it's therefore the only right, and you could have gone ahead and, if you're going to prepare it, you could have prepared it Erev Yom Tov. The point over here that Rabbi Shimon is making is that halacha lamaisa, there are impactful ways to use grain, even on Yom Tov itself. So for example, to go ahead, if you have wheat, you'd make these ludios, these are just different dishes. Sorim, you would give as animal feed, and ultimately adoshim to make groats. Good, says the Mishnah. Mishalchim kelim, suppose we paskin, again, in general, you know, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that halacha lemaisa, again, halacha lemaisa, you could send whatever kind of gifts you want to anyone on Yom Tov. Now, the wheat piece, interestingly enough, is fascinating because, again, as we've already established in yesterday's daf, You cannot do something on Yom Tiv that could have been done on Erev Yom Tiv with the same qualitative results. So for example, as much as you could bake bread on Yom Tiv, you can't grind grain. You can't grind grain. Why? Because the grinding of grain could have been done with the same exact qualitative results as Erev Yom Tiv. Now, if you need to bake bread, but you don't have grain, you forgot to grind your grain on Erev Yom Tiv, can you grind your grain on Yom Tiv? The answer is yes, but going back to yesterday's daf with the shinui, right? That's whenever we have a grinding shayla, we always go back. The default is you could do it if you have to, but with the shinui. Says the Mishnah, Mishalkin Kalim, Bein Tefurin, Bein Shanim Tefurin, Afapi Shemam Kalayim. Listen to this, Rabbi Sai. This is fascinating. You could send, now that we're in the topic of gifts, right? It's the season, right? So now that we're talking on the topic of gifts, and you're sending gifts on Yom Tov, we've established like Beis Hillel, you can send whatever you want. You could also send Kalim. Rabbi Sai, Kalim could mean utensils, but it could also mean, as we're going to see, articles of clothing. Rashi says over here, Begadim. Rashi says it actually means clothing. Bein tfurin, whether they are fully sewn. Bein she'enu tfurin, or they're not fully sewn. V'afapi sheish ben kilayim. Listen to this. You could even send a gift of clothing to someone, even if what? Even if it has shatness. It's fascinating. Even if it has shatness. V'hein l'tzorach hamoed. As long as the gift that you're sending has some type of purpose on Yom Tov. Now we'll discuss what exactly a garment with shatness has, what purpose that would have on Yom Tov itself. That we'll discuss. Avalos sandal hamasumer, but you cannot go ahead and send a sandal hamasumer. Now, both say we had sandal hamasumer back in Shabbos, which essentially is a sandal with cleats. Now, their cleats were nails on the bottom. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Avalos sandal shall eats mitzupa art. This was a wooden sandal that was covered with leather, umisamros kavuin umasmoros, kavuin bow, and ultimately it had nails on the bottom. So it says the Gemara, you can't go ahead and send that on Yom Tov. Now we're going to discuss the reason for that in Gemara. V'lo minal sheno tafer, you also can't send an unsewn shoe. So we'll discuss this case as well, which seems like an incomplete shoe. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Aflo Min Alavan. You also can't send a white shoe. Mipnei Shetzarech Uman. Because a white shoe is incomplete and needs a craftsman in order to fully complete it. Zeklal. Here's the rule. Kol Shani Osin Bal B'Yom Tov Mishalchan Oso. Anything which is of benefit on Yom Tov, Rashi says Miskashtin, that you would wear or get dressed up in or utilize on Yom Tov, ultimately you can send it. So what it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is, what can you send as a gift on Yom Tov? Anything that is purposeful and meaningful has a benefit. Again, we'll see how to reconcile that with some of the items mentioned in the Mishnah that don't seem to be all that purposeful on Yom Tov, but we'll see. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Tfurin Chazul Malbish, so I understand clothing that's fully sewn, it's usable on Yom Tov. Why? It's usable as article of clothing. She'in Tfurin Nami Chazi L'Chasuyeh. Even if it's not fully sewn, I also understand it's usable. Why? Because you can use it as what? As a cover. Right? You could cover yourself with it. But how am I allowed to send an article of clothing that shatness? What purpose does a shatness article of clothing have on Yom Tov? So maybe you'll say, well, as much as you can't wear a shatness article of clothing, you could lay down on top of it. Right? You could sit on top of it. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya we learned lo ya'ala alecha." The pasuk says, "Shatnez." The lashon of the pasuk by Shatnez both says, "Lo ya'ala alecha." Ultimately, again, beggy climb Shatnez lo ya'ala alecha. The article of clothing that Shatnez cannot come upon you. So aval ata yochol la'atzio tachtecha. So we'll say, technically speaking, you see, you can't wear Shatnez. But technically speaking, if you have, let's say, a Shatnez garment that you wanted to spread out under you, you could lay down on it, you could sit on it, you just can't wrap yourself in it. But the Chum say you're not even allowed to sit on an article of clothing that shatnez. Why? Shematichrach lo nema al besaro. This is very interesting. What's the concern? The concern is that if we allow you to sit on an article of clothing that is shatnez, what may happen? You know, so you may come to wrap yourself a little bit in it. Now, literally, it means even one thread may come to get wrapped on you. Now, the moment it's wrapped on you is the moment that you do have a shatnez problem. So, therefore, again, So maybe you'll say, well, the case in the Mishnah is where, again, there's a shat, this article of clothing that's laid flat. You're sitting on top of it. Chazal said, you can't even do that. Also concern that you may come to wrap yourself in it. Well, maybe I have like this. Maybe there's something on top of the shatnez garment between me and the garment. So that there's really no concern that the garment may come to wrap itself on me, or I may come to wrap myself in it. Rebbe, in the name of the Kehila Kedosha in Yerushalayim, afilu eser matzos zu al gabe zu. Let's say, even if you have 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, ukilayim tachtehen, and their shatnez underneath it, aser lishan alehem. You are not permitted to lie on it. So if Rabbi will say, pretty much what it comes down to is, not only can you not wear shatnez, that's doraisa, but the Rabbanon, you can't what? Lay on shatnez out of a concern that you may come to wrap yourself in it. And the rabbinic gezer of not even laying on shatnez is so significant that even if there's some type of interposition between me and the shatnez, I still can't lay on it. So we're back to our original question, which is the Mishnah said, I'm allowed to send a gift of a baguette, of a garment of clothing, even if the garment is shatnez. But then the Mishnah says you can only send a purposeful gift on Yom Tiv. So how is there a purpose in sending a garment that's shatnez? Ella bevilon. Very interesting. Curtains, great gift, right? I'm sending curtains, and the curtains happen to have shatnez in it. So the Mishnah is telling me I could send shatnez. I'm also saying, now that's a great answer. Why is that a great answer? Because at least I would think shatnez and curtains, no problem. No problem. Because after all, again, I'm not laying down on it. I'm not wearing it. Ula said, there is a problem. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, curtains could contract tumo. Why is that? Mipnei shashamis mischamim kenegdo. Because the Rebbe said, listen to this, it was common if a person has shamish, you have a butler, right? The butler gets a little bit chilly. What does the butler do when he gets a little bit chilly? He just wraps himself in the curtain for a moment to wrap up, to warm up. So again, everybody's butler does this. I'm just saying it's so common. So, right? So lemaisa, again, lemaisa, the Gemara says, even shatnez in a curtain is actually problematic. So Rebbe says, so what's the case? Tap of tezvav, elo, bikoshin. Rather, you have to say what we're talking about over here are stiff begadim. The Rebbe says, when it comes to stiff begadim, v'chihada amrav huna b'reid Rav Yoshua, haynamta gamda dinarash. This hard felt from the city of Narash, Sharia, does not have any issue ultimately, again, of shatnez. Now, again, you're not wearing it, you're sitting on it. So this is actually very interesting. As much as we saw before that there is a Isser D'Rabbanon to sit on shatnez, apparently that Isser D'Rabbanon only applies to soft materials. But if you have very hard and stiff material, so that therefore what? There's no concern that what? It's not going to wrap around me because I can't. That's just not the nature of the garment. Apparently, one would be permitted to go ahead and sit in a garment like that, even if that garment has shatnez. So therefore, we'll say it turns out that Allah HaLamayisim, the Mishnah says, that you could send the gift of a garment of shatnez on Yom Tiv. It's a very specific case, like this Namto Gamdo de Narash, the hard felt of the city of Narash. That would be permitted. Incredible. Amra Papa, Ardolin, Ein Bahen Mishum Kilayim. This is an interesting case also. Rashi says, this has nothing to do with anything. This just has to do with that we're talking about shatnez now. Ardolin, Rashi says, Ra'isi b'tshuvas ha-geonim, sherigidlin l'lov shan tachas min aleihen, v'tolin aleihen or shal tayashim, me'uba, din tachas karka osan, u'kinegeda egev sharegal yish osin osan shal tsemer. So we'll say, so apparently this was like some type of additional leather layer that people would place underneath their shoes, and by the sole, they would place some extra wool. So it's possible they would get some shatnez over there, but since this was essentially underneath the sole of the shoe, it does not pose a shatnez problem. Good. So the Gemara goes vayta. Amarava, still just a little bit more shatnez. Hani tzroi dipshiti, ein ba mishum kilayin. This is an interesting case. What happens if you have a money pouch, and the money pouch has shatnez? They will say, up until we learn this Gemara, you would say to yourself, what? You would have said, shat is money pouch problem or not? Not at all, right? But now we begin to see that, watch this. Anytime you have a garment that could potentially kind of wrap around your body in some way, that could cause a little bit of a shatnez issue. I mean, not a little bit, that could cause a shatnez issue, right? Like we saw, like laying down on a garment that shatnez, there's a concern, or even for that matter, the curtain, anything you could wrap. So the Gemara says, what happens if you have a shatnez money pouch? Ein b'em shum kilayim. There's no problem of kilayim. Why? Because the coins inside of it essentially stiffen the pouch, and because of that, the pouch doesn't really wrap around the body at all. On the flip side, the barzon yeshem shum kilayim. If you have a seed pouch, right? If you have a pouch in which you keep seeds, so because they're softer, right? Therefore, again, there could be a problem with keeping that on your person al shatnez, because that pouch could potentially kind of wrap itself a little bit around your body and cause a problem of being nehene, of getting benefit from shatnez. Incredible. Ravashi amar echadze ve'echadze eimam shum kilayim. Ravashi says, nah, neither of them are a problem of kilayim. Why not? Lefi shein derech chimum bekach. Because we'll say, that's a non-normative act of warming oneself with a garment. In other words, the act of wearing something is obvious. Even the act of wrapping one's self with a garment is a normal case, right? Right. I'm laying down on a garment. The act of kind of wrapping myself in it a little bit is normal. But no one warms themselves with their money patch, right? Money pouch. You know, that's just no one says, oh, I'm a little bit chilly. Let me wrap myself in my money pouch. You know, that doesn't happen. So because it's a non-normative form of chimum, of warming oneself, therefore no problem with kilayim. Incredible. Avalo sandal hamasumer. So Mishnah said you can't wear the sandal hamasumer. So sandal hamasumer my taima. We'll say, what's the reason you can't send a sandal hamasumer on Yom Tiv? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maise Shahaya, because of the episode which occurred. Now, both say, remember again, we saw this in Meseches Shabbos. Rashi references this Maisa. And Rashi says, ultimately again, he says, Shagazu Chachamim Shalov Shalov Lenalo B'Shabbos Yom Tov, Mishum Maisa Shahaya Shenergu Harugim B'Shabbos Al Yodo. But remember again, this was a very cryptic story because the Gemara doesn't really give a lot of details. All the Gemara tells us is like this. There was a Shas Hashmat. It was a time of decrees where the Jews were in hiding, right? So remember again, what they said was, once you come into the cave, they were hiding in a cave. Once you come into the cave, you can't go out. What ended up happening was someone wore a sandal hamasumer. And as a result of the way they were walking, it looked like there were additional sets of tracks. Because remember again, a sandal hamasumer is like cleats, has nails on the bottom. There were additional tracks coming in. People panicked because they thought someone had infiltrated the cave, and ultimately there was a stampede. And Rahman Aslan, they trampled each other and they killed each other. Now there's a whole number of different. Was it that they thought someone came in? Was it that they trampled each other because everyone was wearing the sandal hamasumer, and that's how horrifically they killed each other? Whatever it is, whatever the exact details are, we know that the tragedy happened as a result of this sandal hamasumer, as a result of the, and you see, Rabbi said, by the way, that clearly there are certain tragedies. You know, here's what's always interesting is, Klal Yisrael, we're no stranger to tragedies, right? And we've endured every single tragedy. It's always interesting to see when Chazal make a gzeira based on a tragedy, right? Here you have this tragedy, the sandal hamasumer, which again, something the Gemara tells us how many people died. I don't know how many people died. The Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara doesn't tell us a number. I don't know what to make of that. Maybe it wasn't such a large number. Every life is a world. But what does it mean? But it's interesting to know that there's a gzera based on an event that we can't even fully place historically. We don't even know exactly where it happened. But you see that there are certain things that are just so unbearable. Certain things that are just so profoundly painful that they motivate Chazal to act. And it's interesting because what's happening over here, it's a stampede. It's a stampede of Jews against Jews, meaning there's the idea, first of all, of stampeding and people losing their life in that tragic way, and the idea of Jews killing other Jews inadvertently. This was a result of confusion and panic So you see that Chazal understood that a tragedy of that proportion requires a gzera. If only we could just look at this in the historical context and not, you know, recognize that we lived through a year in Meron where we saw Sandal Hamasumer tragedy. We saw this type of stampede tragedy. And we see that a tragedy like that, it weighs on the consciousness in a different way. There's something different about what happened in Meron that sometimes it's hard to articulate and hard to put into words, but it's a Sandal Hamasumer tragedy. And you see with something that Chazal felt compelled to act. So the Gemara says, "All right, buy Sandal Hamasumer, asa na lo umut lo taltalo." So you're not allowed to wear a Sandal Hamasumer, but interestingly enough, it's not Muktzah. Isn't that interesting? It's not Muktzah. So the Gemara says, "Asul analo mishum ma'ase shahaya." So okay, not allowed to wear it based on what we just said before, right? Because of what happened. Umut lo taltalo, but you are permitted to carry it. Now, how do I know that? Midiktani ein mishalchin. See, so what does the Mishnah say? You can't send a gift of a sandal hamasumer to someone else. Now, the fact that it says you can't send it presupposes that what? That what?
Can't wear it.
Right. Well, that you can move it. Right. Remember again, if it was muktzah, there's not a shaila. Right, so the fact that it says you can't send it indicates to me that I'm allowed to move it. Right, I'm allowed to move it. There's no iser muktzah. Hashtal tatuli aser. The Gemara says hashtal tatuli aser mishalchinu mibay. Interesting enough, because halacha lemaisa, if it was muktzah, then it's not a shaila. That what? If it's muktzah, it's not a shaila. Of course, you can't send it. The fact that the Mishnah has to tell me I can't send it tells me I'm not allowed to wear it. But yet, interestingly enough, it's not muktzah. Good. V'lo minal shenol tafar. You also can't send a shoe that is not fully sewn, or that is not sewn. So pshita. They will say, now an unsewn shoe, bepashtos what? Should be muktzah. It's not usable for anything. So of course you can't send it as a gift. Alo nitzcha da afagav dinoket b'sichi. No. We're talking about a shoe. Rashi says two interpretations over here. Either it means it's attached by pegs, like the body of the shoe and the sole of the shoe are attached by pegs, or just by a couple of stitches. So meaning, it's stitched, but temporarily stitched. In other words, it won't hold, so it holds enough. It holds enough to go ahead and potentially wear it, but it's not permanent. So because it's not really a usable shoe, therefore halacha lamaisi, you can't send it. Rabbi Huda Omer aflo min alavan, you also can't send white shoes. Tan Rabbi Huda matir b'shachar va'asr b'lavan. Rabbi Huda says you can send black shoes, but you can't send white shoes. Why? Mipnei shetzarech bitzas hagir. Because white shoes, Rabbi Huda say, no one wore white shoes. There are certain fashion things that don't change, right? And you don't wear white shoes. I would say, so a white shoe was an unfinished product. It still required bitzas hagir, Rashi says over here, was a like clump of dirt. So what would you do with white shoes? You would smear them. You would stain them with dirt, with a clump of dirt. So because it's an unfinished product, therefore, halacha lemaisi can't send it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi Oser b'shachar. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi would hold that you can't send black shoes. Why? Because the shoe was black doesn't mean it was a finished product. You would still have to smooth it out. So the idea of Oser is, what they're saying is, you can only send a finished product on Yom Tov. So whatever, if the shoe's unfinished, you can't send it. V'lo pligi, mar kiasrei, mar kiasrei. And they're not arguing. They're just reflecting the norms in their local locales. Ba'asrei demar, bisra, l'sachas. Ba'asrei demar, bisra, l'abose. It's actually very interesting. It also depended how you situated the hide vis-a-vis the shoe, right? Was the hide or was the flesh side of the hide towards the inside of the shoe? Was the flesh side of the hide to the outside of the shoe? That depends if what? Now again, that will determine, is the outside of your shoe white, right? The flesh side of the hide facing out, or is the outside of your shoe black, the flesh side of the hide facing in? So they're saying the same thing, which is you're only permitted to send the shoe if the shoe is wearable and the shoe is finished. If the shoe is not yet finished, you can't send it. Beautiful. Rav Sheshes Sharul Rabbanon Lishadure Tfilin Biyomatava. Both say this is beautiful. Rav Sheshes allowed the Rabbanim to send a gift of tfilin to each other on Yom Tov. A gift of tfilin. Incredible. Samarle Abaye. Vanan Tnan Kolshini Usimo Biyom Tov Mishalchin also. But one second, we learned in the Mishnah that what type of gift are you permitted to go ahead and send on Yom Tov? Anything that's usable. that's usable on Yom Tov. If you look at Rashi, Vanan Tanan, Utfilin Eina Osim Memi Yom Tov, Kedah Amar Be'erivin, Yazu Shabbos Yom Tovim. What was that? If Pashtus, the Mishnah said, you could send whatever you want on Yom Tov, but again, it sounded like what the Mishnah was saying is Kol Shene Osan, Kol Shene Osan Bobi Yom Tov, which means anything that you could benefit from on Yom Tov itself. And tefillin you can't benefit from on Yom Tov. So Hachi Kamar, this is what it means. So he explained, this is what it really means to say. Hachi Kamar, Kol Shene Osin Bo Bechol, Mishalchin Oso B'Yom Tov. No. What it means is anything that is a fully finished product on the weekday, you can send on Yom Tov. Rabbo say, now what the logic of that is going to be, we'll have to see in a moment. Rabbo say, this is actually a dramatic reinterpretation. So up until now, we were focusing on, how do you know if you can send it on Yom Tov? If it's usable on Yom Tov, you can send it on Yom Tov. Now we're saying, no. Kol Shene Osin B'chol, Mishalchen Oso B'Yom Tov. As long as it's a fully completed product, at the onset of Yom Tov, or during the week, or by Erev Yom Tov, you can send it on Yom Tov, even if what? Even if the object does not really have a Yom Tov purpose. This is incredible. Amar Abaye. So we'll say, that's the end of the discussion. It's interesting. Now the Gemara kind of says, by the way, now that we brought up tefillin, this is very exciting, let's talk about tefillin. Amar Abaye, tefillin hoil va'asal yadon, neimo buhu milsa. Abaye says, now that we brought up tefillin, let's talk about tefillin. Hayo baba derchu tefillin berosho v'shaka alav chamo. If a person was traveling Erev Shabbos, and he was wearing his tefillin, and the sun begins to set, so what should he do? Maniach yodo aleim ad shemagia lebeso. Put your hand over your shorosh, cover up your shorosh until you get to your home. In other words, we both say, you're permitted to continue wearing your tefillin. We'll discuss the parameters of this until you get to your house and you can take it off. Remember, the idea behind this is, we saw this in Masechet Shabbos, tefillin, interestingly enough, has the status of a beged, has the status of a malbush. And therefore, again, although we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, if you're already wearing tefillin, and we're going to see you don't have a place where you could deposit them, you could wear them all the way home. Haya yoshev bebeis hamedrash utefillin barosho. Let's say you're sitting in the beis medrash and your tefillin on your head. It's Erev Shabbos. V'kidei shalav hayom. And now Shabbos is coming. Maniach yadu aleim ad shemagia lebeiso. You keep your hands on until you go ahead and get home. They both say the lashon of keeping your hands on it is covering it. It's not about the shalyad, because the assumption is the shalyad is always covered, right? But it means the shalrosh, you cover up your shalrosh, go home. Masir of Rimbrid Raviga, Haya Baba Derech Utfilin Barosho, Rav Huna, born up a kasha, and he said, 1 second, there's another brisa. Brisa, the person was traveling with Utfilin Barosho, and his tefillin is on his head, V'kidesh Alav Hayom, and ultimately, it becomes Shabbos, Maniach Yodu Aleim Ad Shemagia Lebayis HaSamach L'choma. So you say, the first statement you said you could wear your tefillin where? Till you get home. Now you're saying, no, you can't wear your tefillin until you get home. You could wear your tefillin until you get to the home closest to the wall of your city. Hayoshe Beis Medrash V'kidei Shalavayom. So when you're sitting in the Beis Medrash and Shabbos comes, Maniach Yodu Aleim Ad Shemagia Lebayis HaSamach Lebeis HaMedrash. You could wear them until you get to the home closest to the Beis Medrash. So which one is it? The first price said you could wear the tefillin until you get home. Second one said you could wear it until you get to these identified homes. Lo kasha, hadu mintura, hadu lo mintura. What the Gemara means is like this. If it's Shabbos comes and you're wearing your tefillin, you could wear them until when? You could find a place to safely deposit them. But you gotta find the closest place to safely deposit them. So if the closest place is your house, then what? You can wear it home. But if the safest place is another house, for example, the house closest to the wall of the home, or the house closest to the Beis Medrash, there's a safer, closer place, there's a closer, safe place to deposit the tefillin, there. So the Gemara says, Ma'at Yirya Barosho, if that's the case, then why are we only framing this as a case where you're already wearing tefillin? In fact, again, if you find tefillin in the open, afilu machton ba'aranami. Well, see, we saw this case. If you're walking and you find a pair of tefillin on the ground, right, and it's Shabbos, what do you do? Hamoti tefillin machnisin zug zug. Well, say, what do? You put them on and you wear them to safety. So this is a din. Even halacha lemaisa, if you're not already wearing your already wearing your tefillin is almost like an easier case. I'm already wearing it. I put it on beheter. Right now, Shabbos comes. I could wear it to safety. But there's even a bigger case than that. You find tefillin on Shabbos. Most of this halacha lemaisa, you find tefillin on Shabbos. So what do? Literally, you put it on, you wear it to safety, because tefillin has a din of a beged, of a malbush. Lokasha hadimintera machmas ganvi umachmas kalbi. Hadimintera machmas kalbi filomintera machmas ganvi. We'll say this is very interesting, to which the Gemara says it's referring to two different cases, that halacha lemaisa, one is talking about a situation where you could guard the tefillin. The tefillin are guarded from thieves, right? From thieves and from dogs. And one is from dogs, but not from thieves. So the idea is it requires a different shmira, right? Animals will go ahead and just destroy anything. But thieves will dafka steal something. So there's different levels of shmira depending on the circumstances. Ma'u dutema, I'm supposed to listen to this kimara. What would you have thought? Look, first off, look at Rashi. Velo mintura, machmas kanvi. It's the last Rashi. Rashi says over here, Vashmuina nabayi dehoyo velo mintura machmas kanvi, me'achar shem barosho, yolichim ad beso. Avalimatsam sham bemakom shenishram and aklovim, lo yezizim mimkoman. So we'll say this is very interesting. So here's the chilik in the cases. If you find tefillin on the ground, and the tefillin ultimately, again, are safe from animals, even if they're not safe from thieves, so in other words, they're safe from desecration. They're safe from desecration. Even if they're not safe from theft, you leave them, as long as they're safe from desecration. If you're wearing your tefillin, you have a greater license of mobility. So even if they're wearing tefillin, they're already safe from animals, you could still wear them to safety in order to what? Keep them safe from thieves. To which they might as well say, listen to this. So ganvi, so what does this mean? Sorry, bow to tema, rov lifstim yisrael ninhu, v'lo mazazali b'hu. What would you have thought? The majority of thieves are Jews. Now, both say, let's qualify that statement very carefully. Right? We're talking about over here, it's Erev Yom Kippur, not good to speak Lashon Hara about Jews. Right? He's supposed to say, so remember, we're talking about a locale where the majority of people are Jews. So the assumption is if you live in a place where the majority of people are Jews, just statistically, the majority of Ganavim are going to be Jews as well. So I might have thought that if I live in a place where the majority of thieves are Jews, because the majority of inhabitants are Jews, that even if I'm wearing the tefillin, I have to take them off and deposit them immediately as long as they're safe from dogs, because I don't have to worry about theft, right? They don't have to worry about desecration from thieves. Why? Because since they're Jews, they're not going to desecrate tefillin. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. Kamash Malan Abayi says that once you're wearing the tefillin, you're permitted to wear them to safety, not just from dogs, but even from thieves as well. I'll just mention on this last Gemara, there's an incredible, incredible yisod. So we'll say, what's the Havamina? The Havamina is that even if a Jew is a Ganav, even if he's a Ganav, everybody respects tefillin. Everybody respects tefillin. So again, a person, also we know this because we live with this in our own lives. Just because I am deficient in one area doesn't make me deficient in every area. This is an incredibly important yisod, right? So I do plenty of averus. I do averus A, B, C, D, and E. That doesn't mean that I commit every avera. And it doesn't mean that I commit every single chait, right? So that's the Havamina, right? The Havamina is just because the guy is a ganav doesn't mean he's going to desecrate tefillin. So what does it mean, kamash malon? What does it mean, kamash malon? That because he's a ganav, he's going to desecrate tefillin? So I think kamash malon is like this. Kamash malon is the power of chait is that once you break down a barrier in one area of life, pretty much, there is no other barrier I can't break down as well. Once it's poured together, and this herein lies the real difficulty we have with chait. See, it's not the pshat that the entire terribleness of chait is the one avera I commit. It's that the avera I commit paves the way for a whole bunch of other things. People say, if we look at this even in our own lives, because the truth is Yom Kippur is a good time to be introspective. And sometimes, like, I look at myself and I say, okay, I committed a particular avera. And it's very instructive sometimes to ask myself, how did I get here? Let's say I commit something that for me is something very severe. I did something that I never thought I would do. Committed a maisa that I never thought I would do. So it's very instructive to ask myself, How did I get here? How did I get to this place? And very rarely in life does a person start with an Avera Chamura. Right? It's very rare. Right? A person never says, you know what, I'm new to sin. I'm looking, I want to dabble a little bit, right? I want to kind of get my feet wet. Right? No one says, let me jump into something severe. That's never how it happens. Rather, what usually happens is I start with something small, and once I enter into that world, it becomes a snowball effect. And it's something amazing. So if I commit, and again, this is it's helpful. So if I know I did something that for me is something very significant, to kind of trace it back to the origin, more often than not, what you find is that the path from where I started to where I am is paved with a series of small transgressions. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that in the world of chait, there's two pieces. There's the chait, there's the sin, and there's derech chotim. There is the path to sin. And the path to spiritual decline is often paved again with many, many small negative steps. So the Kamashon, the Gemara says over here, do Jews desecrate tefillin? No Jew would ever think he would desecrate tefillin. But once I open the door to deleterious negative behavior, unfortunately, if I don't check myself and I don't stop myself and I don't grab the reins, I could end up engaging in actions that I never thought I would. So what a powerful, powerful lesson for tshuva. I'll just mention, just to finish up the halacha l'maisa, in Siman Tav Kuf Yud Tes Zayin, excuse me, Tav Kuf Tes Zayin, Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the halacha of going ahead and sending gifts. So the Shulchan Aruch actually says, Mishalchen Kalim Shin Tvur, you can send gifts, right? Even articles of clothing that are not sewn, Shem Ru'in, the Sharnalin, as long as you could lie on them, Fafili Yeshram Kelayim, Filin Kishin, Mishalchen Tfilin, Kevin Shiru'in, Anichim Bechal. Shulchan Aruch says, not only can you send gifts that are usable on Yom Tov, but you can even send someone a gift of tefillin on Yom Tov. Wild, right? Why? Because since they're usable during the week, you can send it on Yom Tov. So what's the pshat? What does that mean? So listen to what the Mishnah Berurah says. Kevin shiru'im va'afa pisha asr lahotzi shum davar b'yom tov. Kol shen atzarech lo, v'namotzi el atzarech lo, k'mo sheizbar, miko makom, kevin shu nehne v'sameach, b'mashem mishaleach dironos lechavero, harizet sorech simchas Yom Tov. Both say, listen to this. Because what's the whole point of sending gifts? Simchas Yom Tov. It's joy of Yom Tov, and it's joy on two ends. It's the giver has joy, and the recipient has joy. Mishnah Berurah says, what's the logic? Sometimes in life, it doesn't actually matter what you get or what you give. What matters is that you're giving something and you're getting something. See, even if a person receives a gift on Yom Tov that they can't use on Yom Tov, the notion that someone else thought about me and gave me a gift accomplishes the mission of Simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, you could even go ahead and send a pair of tefillin. And Abose tells us something so incredibly important in halacha, that halacha says, the people you love should know that you love them. Sometimes we think our loved ones know how we feel about them. My wife knows I love her. Of course I love her. Look at everything I do. My kids know that I love them. Look at everything I do. Don't rely on people knowing how you feel about them. Articulate it. Express it. Not just in words, but in deed as well. Because everyone loves being loved. And everyone loves being appreciated. And everyone loves knowing that someone else is thinking about them. And that's permitted to the point that what? You're even allowed to send a pair of tefillin on Yom Tov. Why? Because another yid should know that I'm thinking about them. Someone else should know. You can't use the tefillin until after Yom Tov. It's mamish. You know, you can't use the tefillin. It's okay. But you should at least know that you were on my mind. You should at least know that I was thinking about you. That's Simchas Yom Tov. And I venture to say, living with the knowledge that someone loves you and someone cares about you is not just Simchas Yom Tov. That's also called Simchas HaChayim. That also gives a general sense of joy to life in general. Go say beautiful. Hadron Aloch, Beitzah. Beautiful. Okay, incredible. Okay, let's start the new parak. Start the new parak. Here we go. Amud Beis. Yeah, we have a long break tomorrow, so it's all right. It's plenty of time. So says the Mishnah, Yom Tov Shchalios Erev Shabbos. We'll say we're going to get into the fascinating sugya today of Eruv Tavshilin. Incredible. Yom Tov Shchalios, Erev Shabbos. When Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, lo yivashla b'tchila mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos. You cannot cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. We already saw this before. We saw this by Rabbah, right? Hachon of the Rabbah. Rabbah said you can only prepare from weekday to Yom Tov, weekday to Shabbos, but you can't prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov to Shabbos. Or from Shabbos to Chol, Yom Tov to Chol. So lo yivashu b'tchilo Yom Tov l'Shabbos. Aval, what can you do? Mevashu l'Yom Tov, you could cook for Yom Tov. Vim hosir yosir. Vim hosir hosir l'Shabbos. And if there's anything extra from Yom Tov, you can use it for Shabbos. Now we'll define the parameters of that halacha as well. Va'oz etav shum erev Yom Tov. What else can you do? You can make a cooked dish on erev Yom Tov. V'someich alav l'Shabbos. And you can rely on it for Shabbos. Rabosai, this is the concept of Erev Tavshilin. You could prepare a cooked item on Erev Yom Tov, and ultimately, again, I will say just very quickly, the mechanics of Erev Tavshilin is that when you go ahead and you set aside your food, really, it's about you're making your food on Erev Yom Tov, that is the beginning of your Shabbos preparation. That's the beginning. So the Shabbos preparation is actually beginning on the weekday of Erev Yom Tov, and everything else you do over the course of Yom Tov for Shabbos is considered to be an extension of that initial weekday act. That's the mechanics of Erev Tavshilin. Again, we'll get into it in greater depth. Beis Shammai Omrim, Shnei Tavshilin. Beis Shammai says, for Erev Tavshilin, you need two cooked foods. O Beis Hillel Omrim, Tavshil Echad. Beis Hillel says, all you need is one cooked food. The Shavin, but both agree. Bedagu Beis HaShav Shein Shnei Tavshilin. That if, let's say, for Erev Tavshilin, you used a fish with an egg on it, right? Fish with an egg on it, that counts for two cooked foods. Achlo, if you ate your Erev, Osha Avad, or you lost it, lo yivasha alav b'tchila. So we'll say, Alach lemaisa, if you lose your Erev Tavshilin or eat it sometime over Yom Tov, you're done, right? You can't rely on that anymore, because as we're going to see, the ability to continue to build on the process that started Erev Yom Tov, right, for the preparation of Shabbos, is predicated on the existence of the Erev. Once the Erev doesn't exist, your ability to continue that process is over. But as long as there's something left of the Erev, Somech Alav L'Shabbos. And ultimately, again, you are good to go. So we'll say, from where do we know that there is this concept, ultimately, again, of Erev Tavshilin? Now, the Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara is not actually asking me Midaraisa, because Erev Tavshilin is not a Daraisa. So Erev Tavshilin is the Rabbanon, right? But nevertheless, where do the Rabbanon see a source for this concept of Erev Tavshilin? Amr Shmuel Domekra, Zachar Yom Shabbos Lekadsho. Remember the Shabbos to sanctify. Top first wide line. Zachreyu, remember it. Me'achar Sheba Lahashkich. Abba said it's very interesting. The idea is you only have to tell someone to remember something if there's the possibility of forgetting it. Chazal were concerned that when Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, what could happen? People may forget Shabbos. Now, what does it mean you're going to forget Shabbos? You're going to use all of your good food on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov samachta bechagecha, come Shabbos, you're going to be eating tuna fish, you know, whatever it is. You know, so that's what Chazal were concerned about. So the Erev essentially makes Shabbos a remembered priority on Erev Yom Tov by designating the beginning of the cooking process, or by initiating the cooking process for Shabbos. My time, so Gemara says, what's the reason? Amar Rava, what's the reason for Eruv? Kadeshi Yivra Mani Yafal Shabbos Aman Aliyah Yom Tov. This way again, by doing the Eruv Tavshilin, a person will make sure they set aside food for Shabbos, as well as for Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Yomar Kadeshi Yomro Ein Ofen Mi Yom Tov L'Shabbos Kavachor Mi Yom Tov L'Chol. Further, Rav Ashi says a little bit differently. Rav Ashi says that people will say the same way that you can't go ahead and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you certainly can't cook from Yom Tov to a weekday. So Tnan, Osin, Oset, Tavshol, Me'erev Yom Tov, V'somei Chalav L'Shabbos, you make a cooked item on Erev Yom Tov, and you rely on that for Shabbos. Bishlam L'Rav Ashi, Da'amar Kadesh, Shiyomru Ein Ofer Mi Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Hanu Dimei Erev Yom Tov in B'Yom Tov Lo. They're both saying, according to Rav Ashi, this makes a lot of sense. That Erev has to be done when? When? On Erev Yom Tov. Ella l'rava, my iria me erev yom tov, afilu b'yom tov nami. But we'll say, according to Rava, who says that the whole concept of erev tavshilin is that you have food set aside for Shabbos, you should even be able to make your erev when? This is very interesting. Even when? On Shabbos itself. I'm sorry, on yom tov itself. Enoch nami, the Gemara says, you're right. Ella gzeira shema yipasha. Ultimately, again, you're right, according to Rava, you should even technically be able to make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tiv, I'm sorry, on Yom Tiv itself, but the concern is maybe you'll be negligent, not end up making it, and therefore Chazal ordained that you should make it on Erev Yom Tiv. All right, so we'll have to stop over here. I think I'm going to record a little bit of the... All right, we'll see. We'll see. We'll stop over here. Mirat Hashem, Daf tomorrow will be during the break between Musaf and Mincha. And Mirat Hashem will be Zohar to learn the Daf together. All are invited. I know that we're in different parts over the course of Yom Tiv. I will say, but Mirat Hashem, we should be Zohar to a beautiful Gimar Chasima Tova. Kodesh Baruch Hu should inscribe us in the Sefer HaChaim for a year of Shefa, a year of Bracha, a year of Hatzlacha, a year where we are Zohar to continue to bask in the light of the Torah Kedosha and Halavai, year of Mashiach.